Morning, Camrose Community Church. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. Trust your week has been good, and we look forward to sharing this day, as you can probably see on my the message today is called Day the Fire Fell. I've got a couple of announcements, though, I want to share with you before I share the message. And number one, we want to congratulate all of you that have your birthdays in the church directory and celebrated this past May. We say happy birthday and God bless to Ethan General, Shirley Comfort, Ted Wigglesworth, Linda Robinson, Merlin Gabbery, Lorinda Travers, Eileen Sawback, Mira Dannon, Krista Gendro, Elizabeth Tuckluck, Alan Brigger, and Errol Jones. It appears that May was a very productive month for birthdays, and so we wish you all a very happy birthday and a prosperous coming year. May the Lord bless you, grant the desires of your heart, and may there be some wonderful opportunities and new doors open for you. It's been a time of waiting, and we thank you for your patience. And also, I just want to drop this note into you. People are asking, when are we going to be able to do church again? And when are we going to have Sunday morning service? Well, if we get our act together and all things go well, we will have service here next Sunday. And it'll be an interesting event, but we'll let you know as best we can, either by phone or by email somehow. Now, I just want you to know that, first of all, we only can have 44 and one-third people in here. So it's going to be first come, first serve. That would be a third of 137 that we're allowed to have in here at any one time. Also, we have masks. If you would feel comfortable, you might want to bring your own mask, or we have some here if you feel that you would be just more comfortable if you want could wear one. So we'll have that for you as well. We won't be having coffee or anything like that. You'll have to bring your own drinks, and we'll have to space out and just try to do things as properly and best as we can. But we do look forward to meeting. And I'm tired of waiting, you know. One of the things that has been interesting, though, is I've been able to do some things around the house, around the yard, and you've probably done the same as well. I don't know if any of you have ever put together a barbecue. If you've got a barbecue out of a box. We did this the first time this past week. I have never bought a barbecue unassembled before. I usually get them at the end of the season when they're clearing them out and I get the floor model. Well, this year we decided that maybe we should have barbecue at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the season, rather than pick one up at the end. And you know, that's the closest I've come to losing my salvation in many years. That was a two-day project, and yes, it was rather strenuous on one's mind. But anyways, it's together now, and we're thankful for that. Life is full of these kind of times. So we've been waiting. We've been waiting to get together again. Well, you know, Pentecost also marks a time when waiting came to an end for God's people. They had been waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, and today we celebrate that Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit came in person. So we're going to read some scriptures. Some of them are pretty obvious, and I want to share a few things with you in regards to that. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" And then the scripture lists all of the various places that these people were gathered from. And we get down to verse 11. It concludes with both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" So people from all over the known world then were gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. And They had heard something never heard before. People talking about the wonders of God in their language. Now, there was different results to this. Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. So they figured these guys, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, had been drinking, and they were just acting on or a result of that wine that they were drinking. I want to share with you a story that kind of illustrates a little bit about Pentecost Sunday, but it's just a little different. It's from Cliff Barrows, who was Billy Graham's associate for basically their entire ministry. Barrows writes this. He said that when he was a boy of about 8 in the early 30s, his father took him and the family to Yosemite Park on a camping trip. He and his father had climbed to the top of Glacier Point, but as the afternoon lengthened, they made their way down for a surprise that his dad had told him. He says, I'm going to have a surprise for you tonight. So as they got back to the campground, which was called Camp Curry, and night was falling, his father held Cliff's hand and told him to watch the 3,000-foot cliff at Glacier Point. Night fell, and all the campers in their chairs and sat on blankets on the ground, almost silently waiting for the evening spectacle. It goes back to about 1872. The tradition had begun of pushing glowing coals from a massive bonfire at Glacier Point over the edge of the cliff and watching the burning hot coals fall like a ribbon of molten fire 3,000 feet to the canyon floor below. Those gathered there that night knew what to expect, but Cliff Barrows said it was all new and marvelous to him as an 8-year-old boy. As the darkness blanketed the scene, an invisible voice echoed from Glacier Point. Are you ready, Camp Curry? In a reply, a park ranger shouted, let the fire fall! Cliff Barrows said the most spectacular sight he had ever occurred that night. Crimson embers, hot with burning, cascaded over the edge of Glacier Point. The pushers were skilled in pushing the fire slowly so that it appeared to be a steady stream of red-hot lava flowing over the edge of the rock. Burroughs said it only lasted for seconds, but it seemed like forever. The fire fell. The people in camp sat in silence and then burst into applause as the last dying embers reached the valley floor. In 1968, the fire fall was discontinued. Lack of interest and environmental concerns were the official reasons given. At the last firefall, the official park bulletin proclaimed, the firefall, a fancy of James McCauley's that caught on and was popular for almost 100 years, died Thursday, January the 28th, 1968, in a blazing firewell. It was a dandy firefall, fat and long, and it ended with an exceptionally brilliant spurt, the embers lighting the cliff as they floated slowly downward. There weren't many people around to watch that night, maybe 50, hardly any congestion at all. Hardly any congestion at all. And I wonder today, are we still interested in having the fire of God fall? Excuse me. Suppose God was to say to us, are you ready, Camrose Community Church? Would our response be, yes, Lord, let the fire fall. Amen. The wait was over. Now, there's a number of directions I could take regarding Pentecost, but I'll limit my presentation to these three. Number one, responses to the Holy Spirit. Number two, barriers broken by the Holy Spirit. And number three, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Or at least a purpose, because there's more than one in regards to that. Responses to the Holy Spirit, number one. You know, as we read the sacred scriptures, we notice that responses to any move of God usually takes one of two pathways, acceptance or rejection. And then there's those that aren't either here or there. But basically, we see two ways of taking it. Either we accept what God has done or we reject what God has done. For example, when Jesus came to earth, we read in John 1:11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. As Jesus' ministry unfolded, we see that he was either worshipped or he was despised. He was either followed or he was forsaken, crowned or crucified. His presence elicits both responses. Now, while many people thronged him throughout Israel, you know, we read in his hometown that the people in Nazareth attempted to shove him over a cliff to kill him. So not everybody was accepting what he was proclaiming. And some ridiculed him, but many followed him. We see the Apostle Paul had similar reactions. As we read through the book of Acts, we see that as he shared the gospel, that message was either received with joy and with excitement, or refused with ridicule, rejection, and persecution. And we know that he spent much time in jail. Now, on this day of Pentecost, up to this present day, we see the same reactions to the coming of the person of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit demonstrates his divine presence through the signs of the wind, the fire, and speaking in different languages, we see the two reactions. As we read, they said, we hear these people, these guys from Galilee, these fishermen, declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? And later, you know, what do we do? After Peter's discourse was finished, they said, well, what are we to do? However, some made fun of them and just wrote them off, saying, they just had too much wine. So we see both the scoffers and we see the seekers. I trust you're a seeker today. It is here that Peter stands up and boldly clarifies the situation, which brings me to the next point. So first of all, we see the responses to the Holy Spirit are similar to other responses and moves of God, and even the moves of God today. When we see God moving, you see the ridiculers, you see the acceptors, and there's usually those two sides. So that brings us to the second point of mine, which is barriers broken by the Holy Spirit. Which I think is often because we see, Christianity often criticized, but we see that this on this day of Pentecost, there's some really neat things happening. All right, let's read Acts chapter 2, 14 to 18. And we're going to get there eventually. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. I mean, let's remember that these guys, not that many days before, were locked up in a room for fear, not wondering what's going to happen. Now they're standing up in front of everyone, and he stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Amen. So that's what Peter was sharing, and sharing that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel. I was reading in Numbers the other day, and I just want to throw this in because this is kind of an interesting situation. In Numbers chapter 11, we read about Moses getting the elders and putting them around the tent, and they were prophesied, but it says they just prophesied once and then they left left from being around the tent, and that's the last we hear of them prophesying. But they says there was two guys whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders but did not dwell to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them. Well, Moses, you got your prayer request answered on the day of the Pentecost. He came to pour out his spirit on all people. And the prophetic tongues were unleashed, and all the hearers heard in their own languages about the wonders of God. So you say, well, what are you talking about barriers? Well, let me just share with you about some barriers that were broken. First of all, age barriers were broken. Prophesying no longer was just for the elders. So it says, your sons will also prophesy, and your young men will see dreams, young men will see visions. So seeing visions, dreaming was no longer also just for the young people, but old men will dream dreams as well, and young men will have visions. So we see the age barriers broken in regards to so many things with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Gender barriers were broken. What was an exception under the old covenant now was to become the norm. Your daughters and women will prophesy. There were prophets or prophetesses, if you want to say it that way, in the Old Testament, but they were the exception to the rule. Now the Holy Spirit is upon all people, and so the gender barriers were broken. It was no longer mainly men who were to be prophets, but your daughters and your women will prophesy. And we can add a lot of things, because when it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your social barriers were broken. It didn't matter what kind of class of social you were, the Holy Spirit would come upon you, and you would be able to receive him. It didn't matter what kind of a social distinction you had. It didn't matter whether you had education or not. So education barriers were broken. Anybody, whether they were ignorant, unlearned, like these fishermen, or whether they were well-educated, like Paul was. The Holy Spirit came on all of them. Racial barriers, didn't matter what race you were from. All received of the Holy Spirit. Language barriers were broken. The Holy Spirit would you could experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't matter what language you spoke, because he spoke and speaks to all people. And so there's a bunch of barriers that were broken with the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was a welcome thing and a wonderful thing today, that we can share in all these the gifts of the Holy Spirit between us all and amongst us all, and the different things that we bring together that the Holy Spirit has given us, because as a body, we function as a body, and not all of us has everything working totally working together, but we all bring something to the table as believers in Christ. And that's why it's going to be so nice again for us to be able to worship and minister and sing and pray for one another in a group setting, because there's something that happens in a group setting that doesn't happen by yourself. And we were created to be social beings. We were created to be together. And so we're looking forward to that time when that can happen again. So this brings me to the third point, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And there's more than one purpose, but I'll just share with you what Jesus said. When the Advocate or the Counselor or the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. In another place, Jesus said, you know, I can't be with you all the time, but I will send another one just like me, the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. In fact, he called him the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit was not going to bring attention to himself, but the Holy Spirit was going to bring attention to Jesus. So as Peter's discourse goes on about the Holy Spirit, he also turns his attention to Jesus. And in that same chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we call, and if you haven't called on the name of the Lord yet today, what a better time than the day of Pentecost to receive Christ into your heart. Call on him, and he will answer you. And as I've been reading scripture, and you know, over the years that listened to testimonies, we realize that we can call on the Lord in various ways, and for not only for salvation, but for various things. And I'm sure you've all heard testimonies of answers to prayer and in calling on the name of the Lord and receiving those answers. Here's some from the Gospels. Luke chapter 18, verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We read about the 10 lepers in the chapter before that. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And then, as I mentioned already, but after Peter's discourse here in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, after Peter's Day of Pentecost discourse, brothers, what shall we do? They wanted to know, okay, you've shared this with us, and as you read chapter 2 thoroughly, you'll see that Peter takes it right from the beginning to the very day of, this is what has happened. This is what was prophesied. This is what happened with Jesus. And so now, some of them come to them and say, okay, what are we supposed to do? How do we respond to you? How do we call on the name of the Lord? And of course, we read in Acts chapter 9, Saul, before he was called Paul, as he got struck down, he says, who are you, Lord? And he was soon to find out who the Lord was. Luke chapter 18, verse 38, the blind man. He called on Jesus this way, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42, we read that story of the thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Most of these were not long discourses. Most of these were not long prayers. They're just simply calling on the Lord. And you can just simply call on the Lord today for whatever your request is. Because we see as however the call was made, the results are the same. Jesus answers. The good news of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Jesus. Even though Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, his ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit, continues, as we've read already today, first through the apostles. It continued down through the ages, although sometimes it's kind of dark, but the ministry continues today through the Holy Spirit, through people like you and I. At Pentecost, a new era was issued in. And I want to share also, remember as a spirit-filled believer that you are empowered, an empowered child of God. You have lots to offer, and never belittle yourself in regards to that. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded, as Paul reminded Timothy, to stir up the gifts. And, has the fire of God fallen on your heart? Is the burning desire to love God and others still there? You know, sometimes we don't really feel like, well, I don't really feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of like Paul reminded Timothy, you need to stir it up, you need to work it up. You know, this past few weeks I've been working in the yard, and you go to bed and you realize that, well, you found muscles that you realized you didn't have. But you know, you have muscles throughout your body. But they need to be exercised. And it's the same with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. We need to stir up the gifts. We need to concentrate. We need to exercise and use those gifts and strengthen those gifts, because they're there for a purpose. And so may I just remind you today, let the fire of God fall afresh in your heart. Just see what the Holy Spirit will do in your life and your heart, and continue for that urgent desire and that passion for family and friends to also experience that wonderful fire of God in their hearts. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for this awesome day that we celebrate, but it's not just a day, it's an experience that we can have. First, at our receiving you as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell us. But then when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for this day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in a brand new measure. And I just pray for everyone in our congregation, Lord, that you would just minister to their hearts and their lives. May the fire of God fall fresh in their hearts. May they stir up the gifts within them, Lord. And Lord, we look forward. As the waiting was over at the day of Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come, we pray that that'll never be something we have to wait for. But we can just experience your presence, your sweet presence, your powerful presence, your empowering presence right now, even as we wait on you today. Thank you for this awesome day. Thank you for the church. We pray your blessing upon every individual, every relationship, every family. We just pray your wisdom upon each one as they go to the jobs. We thank you for your health. We thank you for your strength. May the joy of the Lord continue to be our strength. We thank you for your wisdom to walk each day. And we look forward to when we can meet together. But we thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're always there. And we thank you for your sweet presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have an awesome week.